Tzar B'Teves, yet another fast day, and here we are once more mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. A loss the Maral Miprag elaborates, the beginning of his Sefer Netzach Yisrael, and we see from the punishment al pi the Sugyan Yuma Davtes Samad Beis that if we're still suffering the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it must be that we have not yet been Mesakein the chait of sinus chinam that wrought, that engendered the Churban Abayis. The second Beis HaMikdash was Mevusas and Meyusad, explains the Maral, on the Indian of the Achdus Am. You didn't have all the miracles, you didn't have the Oren, you didn't have that same level of Dveikus between Klal Yisrael down here in the Ribbono Shel Olam above, but L'kol HaPochas, at the very least, you had an Achdus Bein Odom LeBein Chavero. But once we had the Chet Hanoira of Sinasinam, Mamela, then you lost the foundation, the Yisod upon which that entire bias was built. And the Beis HaMikdash, the grand edifice, was then brought down before our eyes. Writes the Shlach HaKodesh and Chelek Torah Shebachsav this past week's Parsha, Parshas Vayigash, in order to return to days of once more a Beis HaMikdash and a scion of the Davidic dynasty assuming his rightful place atop the throne that is Shayach to Malchus Beis David, to Malchus Yehuda. First, we need the Koach of Yosef HaTzadik. A descendant of Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, has to precede. Now, Eina Chanami, parenthetically, the Arizal points out that if we're Zohar holding by the appropriate to Madrego, we don't need to suffer the dire consequences delineated by Chazal in the Tkufa of Mashiach ben Yosef. We won't even need to pass over that stage as a precursor and as a harbinger to the days of Mashiach ben David. But as things would have it, if things continue on its regular path, then Mashiach ben Yosef comes, and that precedes the Tkufa of Yemos HaMashiach, Mashiach ben David. Why, asks the Shlach, what's the primary task of Mashiach ben Yosef? To which the Shlach Kodesh responds, before you can have Mashiach ben David, the Melech HaMashiach, sitting atop that throne and assuming his rightful place as the scion of the illustrious Davidic dynasty, before you can have a Mashiach ben David, first he has to be preceded by a descendant of the Koch of Yosef, Loshen Asifa. You have to first gather together Asuf Asifei. He Kobtsu, He Osfu, you have to gather together as a unified cohesive arm. And only once you're together, then you can have Mashiach ben David. But if you're not together, it's not going to happen. And that's the Koch of Yosef, not merely named for Yosef Hashem li banachan parshas vayetze, not merely named for the Osef Escharposi, for concealing my shame, but as Rav Gedalia Shor elaborates in his Or Gedayahu, one cannot ignore the obvious correlation of Yosef to the Lashon of Asifa, to gathering together. Once we gather all of Klal Yisrael biyachad ba'achdus gemura, as one cohesive, unified nation, then you're right, we've set the stage for the return to a Beis HaMikdash, and a Mela, a descendant of none other than David HaMelech, can be the Melech Mashiach Meirav Yameinu. So the Muskel Rishon is that Yosef Koach Hasifa is bringing everyone together. Wasn't Yosef partially responsible for the hatred, for the animosity that ensued at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev? In fact, Rabbeinu Bachai, when he poses the famous question of Asaru Gemalchus, the 10 monarchs coming as a tikkun, as a kapora, as a quasi-rectification for the involvement of those 10 who were involved in Chet Mechiras Yosef, asks Rabbeinu Bachai in his Perush Al HaTorah and Parshas Vayeshev, Perek Lamed Zayin, asks Rabbeinu Bachai, where were the 10? So answer number one, I'll be Perkin Rulosh and Perklam and Gimel, they were Matsari, Fashem Yisporch, to the Chayrim. And Amela, we had a Rabbi Akiva, as we mentioned in Shushan Ashtapol, you know them, a Kabbalah, and Rabbi Akiva corresponded to the involvement of Hashem Yisporch in the 10. That's one answer. But then later on, at the outset of Perek Lamed Ches, and Pasuk Aleph asks Rabbeinu Bachai the question once more. And this time he says that Reuven was partially at fault, and he explains why. And he says, Yesh Lomar, that even Yosef was partially at fault. Because Yosef was Motzi Nibosim Ra Laviyim. He said the Lashon Hara that engendered, that triggered the ensuing animosity. Amela, he too was guilty. He too was somewhat liable. He was number 10, Mamela Nasur Gemalchus. Although that might have been at the beginning, Yosef gradually understood that it's time to bring the brothers together. It wasn't simply throughout Parshas Vayeshev, and not simply in the context of a Parshas Vayigash, that we witness Yosef having devised that plan to bring them all together and to have Yehuda step up to the plate and be Mosa Nefesh for the remaining, or what they believe to be the remaining son of the Rochel Binyamin. We already saw part of the gallus of Yosef's wanting to fix things earlier in Parshas Vayeshev. Right through Shimon Schwab in his Mayim Beis Shoeva, there's a fascinating diuk. In the first pasuk of the third aliyah in Parshas Vayeshev, "Vayhi kasher ba Yosef al echav vayafshitu es Yosef es kutanto es kesones haposim asher olah." So, reading the pasuk literally, they first took what? They stripped him of his ketonah. And Rashi says the cholak, the outer garment, and then they took off that coat of magical, mystical colors. The ketonah's pasim, a number of rishonim related to the big day of chamudas, to begonim of Adam Rishon, to that special coat that Yaakov gave specifically to Yosef HaTzadik. So we have many Mefarshi Rashi, their father, the Mizrahi, and others. First you take off the ketonah, the outer garment, and then you take off the ketonah's pasim. What's going on here? Explain to the Mizrahi, really the way to read the pasuk is it was one and one the same garment. Esku tanta, which was what? What was his ketonah? His ketonah, his cholik, his cloak was one and one the same with the ketonah's pasim. Explain to the Marashal, that's not true. Pashup shot, there was two different things. Ella, what? They take off both simultaneously. Right from Schwab, if you read the pasuk, Pashup Shat seems to indicate that first they took off the outer garments, which is what one would expect them to do, and that was the cholik, that was the ketones, and only then did they take off the ketones pasuk. What's going on? Wouldn't you have understood that if Yaakov bestowed upon Yosef HaTzadik that special, magical, mystical garment called the coat of many colors, the ketonah's pasim, didn't he wear it on the outside? Hell explains on Schwab, Yosef saw already the hatred that it was triggering. He saw what it was doing and he wanted to fix it. So what did he do? He didn't want to engender any animosity on the part of his brothers. He took the ketonah's pasim. He couldn't abstain legami from wearing it. After all, that would be a patch and punim to his father. Keep it up, aim. He has to go in and wear it. Ella, what? He's going to wear it, but he's going to wear it underneath his clothing. And he wore another garment, a ketonah, outside and over that ketonah's pasim, so that any time he would get together with the brothers, they wouldn't see the ketonah's pasim achlal, they wouldn't go ahead and have their hatred incited. On the contrary, they wouldn't even know that he's wearing it. Amela, first they took off the ketonah, and only then did they see, and then continue in the process of stripping him of the ketonah's pasim as well. That's Yosef. And that's the Koach HaSifa to recognize, to do away with the hatred, to do away with the sin of Sinam, and to be Ma'achid, the Levavus of Bnei Yisrael, of the Bnei Yaakov. But as somebody just told me recently, they heard Rabbi Lau, the former chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, speak, and he said that we don't have a safer Geula until we get to Shmos. Because brothers throughout Sefer Bereishis seemingly were never able to really get along. Cain Hevel ended with the death, the tragic demise and untimely demise of Hevel. And then of course Yitzchak and Yishmael, and Yaakov and Esav, Yosef and his brothers, brothers can't get along. Only when we turn the pages to Parsha Shmos and we meet up with an Aaron and a Moshe, and we meet up with two brothers who love one another, where there's no jealousy, there's no chaos, in the contrary. Hashem assures Moshe Rabbeinu that even though you were the select, the choice individual to be Moshe and Shai Yisrael, Aaron a Kohen is Veroch HaVesamach Belibo, and Rashi bringing a Kenta, the Menush Rabbah, and the Menush elaborates. The reason why Aaron was chosen to be the Kohen Gadol, to be the one donning the Choshen, which had in it the Choshen, the Ephod, the Yud Beis Avonim, corresponding to the 12 Shifte Yisrael, the Shifte Ka, right by his lave, because he took that lave instead of using it to be jealous of Moshe's younger brother. Instead, Baruch HaVesamach Belibo, now he's going to carry all the Shvatim, all of Klai Yisrael, all the time when he does the Avod on their behalf. He'll be carrying all of the Shiftei Ka by his heart. And therefore explains the Maral in his Derech Chaim and Obus, his commentary, Perkei Obus, Perkei Aleph, Mishnah Yabez, Hillel Hayomer, Hevi Mitalmidav Shal Aaron, Oim Shalom Rodei Shalom, Oim Asabriyas, and Mekam, and the term, Echitesi Yes, the Maral. How do we know that he was the quintessential, the paradigmatic Oim Shalom? What do we see in Chazal? Zok, the Maral, if we see that he had the Choshen, we see that he carried the Yudbeis Avonim, and we see that he was the choice candidate to be the Kohen Gadol, had to be Bechaper, to expiate for the sins of Klai Yisrael, to represent all the hearts of the Jewish people, by definition, there was no other Oim Shalom and Rodev Sholem like an hour and a coin. And that's how we know that he stands from time immemorial as the quintessential figure who is going to be someone who loves and pursues peace relentlessly. When brothers get along, even when the Muskel Rishon seems to indicate that perhaps they might not be getting along, there might be jealousy, and Afilu Hachi, Aaron responds with a Baruch HaVesamach Belibo, then you know the stage is set for the Geula. Moshe and Aaron are going to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So I just want to close with a fascinating maisa that I've said over in the past. Perhaps not everybody heard it, but it's an unbelievable anecdote that appears in the Sefer Meir Ein HaGolah, quoting the Chiddush Harim, who said over the story in the name of one of his Rebbeim, Rav Simcha Buna Mipashischa, appears in the Sefer Yagdil Torah and Parsha Shmos, Moridika Maisa. And the Mechaber of the Sefer Yad Torah says, then he heard there was only one time when Rav Aaron Kohler admitted that a chassid was menatzeach oto. That a chassid beat Rav Aaron Kohler in a debate. Said there was one time that it happened. And what was the one time? A chassid came over to Rav Aaron years ago, and he told him that he heard a maisa, and it was this maisa the Chiddush Harim said over from his Rebbe Rasim Chabunim, that Rav Simcha Bunim at one point in his life had an unbelievable hislavus. He was ma'od mitrageish, that it's time, Igiyasman, Sofa Kates, Mashiach has to come. And he felt he was margish and unparalleled this iris, and he said, I can bring Mashiach. And he was about to daven like never before and bring Mashiach. And then all of a sudden he stopped in his tracks and he had a vision. And he said, what's going to happen? I'm going to bring Mashiach. Mashiach's going to come. And all the Gedolei Yisrael are going to line up. We're going to have the Litvish and Rosh Hashivas on one side of the table, the Hasidish and Rebbe's on the other side of the table. And who's going to be at the top is the Zokein Muflug, the Zokein Adar, the Abderav, the Oiv Yisrael. He says, yeah, there'll be a place for me too, the small Simcha Bunim. I'll be sitting somewhere at the other end of that very long table. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch Melech HaMashiach come in. And there's going to be a Moridika Kabbalah upon him, the Hasidish and Rebbe's, the Litvish and Rosh Hashivas, the Gedolei Adar, the Gedolei Yisrael, everyone's going to be together welcoming the Kabbalah upon him like never seen and witnessed before. And there's going to be Melech HaMashiach sitting right next to the Abderav. And the Abderav is going to turn to Melech HaMashiach and say, no, tell me, Mashiach, who brought you here? And Mashiach's going to have to answer the Emes. And he's going to say, you see that Poshid Yir at the very back of the table of Simcha Bunim? The Peshischa Dikayir, he's the one who brought me. And it's going to be Gorim, it's going to cause a shtickle chalishis adas. It's going to cause him to be a little bit pained. I wasn't able to bring him. And a Simcha Bunim was able to bring him. And he's going to be Gorim, a shtickle chalishis adas. I envision that shtickle of Chalisha Sadas that I'm going to be going to the Avta Rav. If Mashiach would come today and the Avta Rav would ask him, who bought you? And he would have to answer the MS, it was me and it wasn't him. Better than I'm not going to daven for Mashiach today. Because I don't want to cause Chalisha Sadas. Even an ounce of pain, I don't want to cause to the Avta Rav, to the Gadol HaDor. And Rav Aaron Kohler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, heard this Maisa from the Chosid. He says, I don't believe it. It's not true. You tell me Simcha Bunim had the Achilas, he had the wherewithal to bring Mashiach. And all I'm sure the Avta Rav would have been Moichel Zayin. You know what? The Mashiach will take that little bit of pain. And he couldn't bring the Chosid. The Chosid says, but I'll bring you a Raya about it. And he brought him a shtickle from the Medrash Rabba and Shmois Rabba and Parsha Gimel and Os Gimel. That says that when Hashem was speaking to Moshe and told Moshe Rabbeinu, you are the Moshe and Shoy Yisrael. It's time. Yigi Asman, suffocates. Take the Yidin out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe's response, of course, was what? Shlach Rabbi. I don't want to be the one. So there's a day on the Zaman, the Omer, the Menorah that says that the Amish to respond in. If you don't agree to take them out, then the Jews are going to stay in Egypt. And why aren't you going to take them out? Because I'm worried that Moshe Rabbeinu, that if I take them out, Aaron HaKohen is going to see me. And he's going to be a little bit pained. How come Moshe could take out the Jews from a tribe? And me, the older brother, I can't successfully take them out. And it'll cause him Chalisha Sadas. Moshe Rabbeinu says, then I don't want the Gula to leave the Jews from a tribe. Only when Hashem promised Moshe, "V'roch v'samach b'libo," he'll rejoice upon seeing you. Only when Moshe got that assurance, only then did he agree, yes, now I'll go on my mission. So Baron Kohler says, it's the one time a chosid got me. I wasn't thinking about that sheet of them on the other, but what's the pshat? The pshat is, it's not shayach for the emistik ha'ula to come. Derech the ma'avar, derech the gesher, through the bridge, through the medium of causing pain to another yid in Klai Yisrael. It's not shaykh to have the emistik of Geula Asida that's going to come in Erev Yemenu. If it has to come derech causing another yid pain, befrat the yid like Aaron, then I don't want it. If it's going to come by causing the Avdar of a shtickle pain, Chalisha Sadas, then the Simcha Bunim said, I don't want it. Because an emistik ha'ula has to be avaschina, has to be going out of the way, to be ma'asef kol ha'machanos, to be ma'asef for the levavos of Klai Yisrael, never to cause pain to another yid. B'mei shorim ha'akifin, whether directly or indirectly, we want to gula ha'sida, we want to no more san ha'sor b'teves, then the key is, the tikkun of the sin ha'schina once and for all, to have a gula ha'sida coming, be'ikvis, and unparalleled. Ava Schina Be'ez Hashem will do our job. Have an easy and meaningful end of the Taina Simet Hashem and a good Shabbos up ahead and a Gula Sida B'Korov Mar.